Today Show, the headline. It's not confusing at all, is it, Daniel?
Nope, not confusing at all.
No, hub sites, permissions, something, something. Let's just get on with it.
The following episode was recorded live on YouTube. Check out our website at messagecenter.show for all of our episodes.
Yeah, it's not a confusing headline at all. It's going to be a good one to dive into first. But firstly, Daniel, how has the week been in the world of Microsoft 365 for you?
It's been exciting. I think the something that we have not talked about too much on the show, except when the announcement was made, but with the whole idea of SharePoint workflow going away in Microsoft 365, just been a lot of conversation going on this week around that. That's really been a lot of the conversation. And something else that will be announced tomorrow has also been, we've been throwing that around for a few days as well. So, but anyway, back to the workflow. I posted a blog post about it as well, really focusing on what are those steps that people are going to need to take? And we talked about it on the show a little bit, but what are those steps? So you can go to my blog or go to regarding365.com and see it there.
Good stuff. Yep.
What about you, Daryl?
I've been playing a bit with some of the SharePoint Spaces stuff, and I came across something that Mark Rackley had referred to, which I've got to try today. They created some spinning logos for SharePoint and for Teams, 3D style. So I'm going to drop those into Spaces. But yeah, hanging out for one of the things that we recently saw in the Message Center, which was annotations within 360 video, 360 pictures, actually, so we can create a virtual tour. Plenty of other stuff, but let's get right onto it. So first message, sir.
Yeah, so this is we're actually leading in with our title message, which is SharePoint - centralized management for hub visitor permissions. This is MC218789. So what in the world is this? Well, it's SharePoint, apparently. Mm-hmm. That's the first word there. So hub visitor permissions, and that kind of gives you a hint as to what this is all about. It's a very odd title for this message. But what this is all about, and this is something that Microsoft has announced before, is this will allow hub site owners to designate an entity to be added to a joined site, a member SharePoint site, as a visitor. So a member is just a set collection that said, hey, I want to join that hub. The entity that a hub site owner can select could be a Microsoft 365 group, could be an Azure AD security group, or could be individuals. Remember, the sites, the hub site, and those sites that would associate with it are their own site collection. So we can't use SharePoint groups. It has to be at the Azure AD level. So it has to be an entity there. Let's make sure that people realize these hub sites and the permissions that would be pushed down is not forced on those member sites. Mm. Okay. Hub owners choose to enable it and then designate, hey, this is the entity I want to go down to my members that so choose to allow. And then the owners of those members' sites that would be joining the hub, they get to choose whether they want those permissions or not. Yeah. And for me, and I'll talk about rollout and who this applies to, but for me, this really is helping to enable that intranet experience. Whereas, if you think about, because we've been removed from this subsite mentality where I could control permissions, right? My subsites could inherit my permissions easily, and I could just build out my intranet and in a hierarchical manner. Now we have these different site collections where I don't control that permissions. You know, I set up my home site and I say, okay, it's a hub and others can join it. But I don't control permissions. So, people could come to my site, the hub site, and go, oh, there's a link to the HR site. But if HR has removed the permission or never added permissions for everyone to see it, they won't have access to it at all. So anyway, this gives me the ability to control it to where people will have visitor rights, will be able to see those sites and see the content there. Of course, those member sites will be able to manage their permissions, you know, accordingly. It's targeted for early August for those targeted tenants, and then everyone completed by the end of September. And the beauty of this, the, you know, I'll pause to see, Daryl, if you have any comments about this, and I'm sure you do, but the beauty of this is for all environments. This is for standard tenants, DOD, GCC, GCC High, education, Germany, et cetera, et cetera. So this is for everyone on those timelines.
Well, it's good to see a update which is landing for everyone at those times. And it's an important one. Like, I hadn't honestly thought too much about this scenario till I read the message, because a lot of the hub site associations we work with, we're kind of in full control of each of those site collections. But if you've opened up and allowed owners of their sites to attach themselves to an associated hub, then I can see where you'd need to have a mechanism to synchronize those permissions if you want it. I do see also the scenario where you don't want to, and this might be your hub represents a customer, for example, and every site that is associated with it could represent a project. Some projects are going to be open and available. Some might be silent or quiet.
Exactly.
And so you might want to still leave a pointer to it to say it's associated with this customer, but the information's sensitive. Yeah, good update.
Yep, exactly.
All right.
Awesome. So our next message is, it's a kind of a technical one, and I know that you're going to explain this really, really well, but it's all about this streaming and Teams, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it does sound technical because it has TEK and tech in it, but this is a brand name or a technology, New Tech NDI, is something that... is used in video production, and some of us are using it to get a little fancy with displaying wireless feeds and video feeds and capturing them and using them in production environments. Now, New Tech NDI is going to be available for Teams. That's MC218745. Now, I want you to think about Teams meetings at the moment, or even live events. They're bit limited with what you can do with them, right? Some of the scenes and things, live events itself. What have you found, Daniel?
Yeah, with live events, I feel like it's an amazing platform that needs more. You know, it's an amazing platform as it is, but then there's, I think people are taking a look at it and going, oh, that's great, but can I do this, and can I do that, and can I do this? You know, which is a good thing, a good problem to have with a platform, right, that you're developing. And so people are doing that, and they're going, oh, I want to do this, and I want to do that. And so things like this, the bringing in the ability to do some streaming and using other sources, and so I think is right where it's the path that people want to see this going, right?
Yeah. No, I'm going to rock your worlds a bit, viewers, because I'm going to try and show you something literally practical, because this is a little behind the scenes. Let's see if we can do this. The reason that New Tech NDI is going to be useful for even this video production, we have OBS down here, and I'm doing a full capture of Daniel whenever I want to bring him into a scene. And so when you see him... on the left or on the right, and you know, wherever I move him, I'm capturing that whole screen using a display capture as part of the scene. We've got our message over there, and I can trim things up. But NDI Tech is going to allow me to not just have Daniel full screen and have to capture him that way or capture the whole app. I'm going to be able to capture the feed itself.
For those that are on the podcast, Daryl is just showing kind of his setup, the way he's capturing this. You know, you're talking about that feed. That is really key, because it gets kind of messy, when Windows are changed and formatted weirdly on a desktop. Because what Daryl is doing, and this is what I do when I'm using OBS or other technology, is saying, okay, I want to look at this display. And so it really is looking at, you think display monitor. I mean, it's looking at that, or it's looking at an app and going, oh, I want to look at that app. What region do you want to show in this app? But if that app maker changes things, like, for instance, Teams moving around the, you know, the bar, you know, that shows up or whatever, if that changes, then you have to go and edit your scenes. And that's where the beauty of this comes in, right,
Darren? Yep. And, you know, Daniel and I were meeting over a Teams meeting. We're using that as the mechanism to bring us together. And this is what new tech NDI is going to allow us to do. It's going to turn each video feed into something that we can use in video production and bring a live event together easier, making it simpler for us to switch between different people that are participating and display them differently beside content. Lots of different options. Looking forward to it. But we'll the notes there are that it is off by default. So when it does become available in your tenant, in maybe video production, you might be knocking on the door of the admin saying, is it ready yet? Is it ready yet? Like just another thing that people are bothering admins for. But it has to be turned on, and then you have to be within a meeting policy to allow you to use this feature. It's not going to be on for everyone, as you would expect. Specialized feature. But anyway, let's move on to our next message.
Yeah, the next message is new file sharing experience in Teams, MC218732. It says new file sharing experience, but don't leave off in Teams because it's not actually new. This is the same sharing experience as SharePoint and OneDrive have currently. In fact, I think it's long overdue, but this is an excellent update, excellent change for us. So just want to make sure we remember, when sharing files in Teams, you're actually sharing a file that is in SharePoint or OneDrive, right? Depending on how, you know, where that file is in Teams. If it's one-on-one chat, that's in OneDrive. So when you do share a file in OneDrive, or a modern SharePoint site, when you add someone to the share, you know, you go and say share, I want to share it with a specific person, you type in their name. If they don't have access, that sharing actually gives it to them. Okay. So when it says, hey, they don't have access, when you click share, it's going to give that to them. So one sentence in this update really doesn't make complete sense to me, and I'm not sure what it means. And it's kind of toward the bottom there. It talks about, before users share a file in a chat or in channels, they will be notified if recipients don't have permission to view the file. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. They're going to be notified. Great. The user can change permissions before they share the file, if they have permission to do so, if they have permission to change the permissions. So what does that mean? Does that mean that in the dialogue of sharing, it's going to say, do you want to update permissions? I can click yes. Or does it mean that moving, just like in SharePoint and OneDrive, once I do send it, it's actually sharing it? And I don't have to do anything else? Or is it saying that I have to pause, go to OneDrive or SharePoint, actually share the file, give the person permission that I'm sharing it to, and then come back to Teams and click the button?
Surely it's about consistency, right? And this is why you're looking forward to it. It's that consistency.
Yeah, that's the whole point of this is, and you know, it was announced previously that this was coming, and we were like, yay, we want sharing to be consistent across the board. So this is great. It's just that sentence makes it sound like it's not consistent. And so I'm going to give some feedback on this update in the message sender, just saying that sentence or that a couple of sentences don't make it very clear as to how it actually will be shared with someone who doesn't have permissions right now.
How would you leave just while we're on that topic of leaving feedback on messages? So it's the like or dislike button,
mm-hmm.
And then if I hit dislike, then I've got
If
an
I hit the
opportunity
thumbs
to,
down, yep,
then I can say why.
Yep, say why.
Mm-hmm. Yep, okay.
And what's really cool about that is if you click that box that says it's okay to contact me about this feedback, they actually have in the past contacted me. I made a note about a message last week, and they contacted me and said, thank you, we've updated it, I appreciate the feedback. So so it's nice. Anyway, so that's how you give feedback. For this message, a big part of this announcement is at the end. For administrators, make sure you understand what the sharing settings are in the SharePoint admin portal. Yep. Because the SharePoint admin portal controls both SharePoint and OneDrive. So this, you want to make sure it's set to what you want to allow and what you don't want to allow, because this is going to follow those permissions or follow that setting, because again, those files are in SharePoint and OneDrive. Meaning, do you want to allow guest access? Do you want, what is the sharing time frame for anonymous links if you allow that? You know, those kind of settings, you want to make sure you've set those before before this is rolled out, so that people are not doing something you don't want them to. Speaking of rollout, mid-August for targeted. Nope, sorry. They have not differentiated between targeted and standard. They just said mid-August start, completed by mid-September. And this is only for standard Teams tenants, not GCC, not GCC High, none of those others. So just standard. Sorry for you, government and Germany and all those other special tenants.
All right. Love how you keep calling out Germany. I think we need a list of other.
Well, there's none. I say Germany because specifically for the. No, specifically for, there is a Germany tenant. There's a, it's this, you know, and so specifically for the one previously for hub site permissions, Germany is called out as being one that's getting it. So that's why I said it. Yes, there are others. Japan, for instance, has one.
Yes.
But anyway, moving right along.
Moving right along.
This next announcement I'm excited about.
I was just pausing for effect because I'm struck. Like, why are you excited about this message?
Because I want to hear how excited you are.
Oh, yeah, well, I am. New question and answer capabilities coming to Yammer communities. Now, as I say the word Yammer, some IT pros still go, I don't know why, you know.
I don't either.
I don't either. But MC218734... It has been a damn good platform. I've got to say that. Damn good platform for encouraging conversation during COVID. Yes. We've been using it to create communities to support each other. And we've been making heavy use of the question and answer feature where people have remembered to use it. Okay. There's been a Teams at Datacom community that we have leveraged to make announcements, to... for people to ask and answer questions, share their observations, all that sort of stuff. But sometimes when they're asking a question, they don't think to use the question post. This is a different post type that makes the post stand out. So you can see it's a question. So you can answer it as if it was, okay, here's my suggestion, and then get a bunch of answers. And then someone can answer, or rather mark it as best answer. So these are all good things to help you find the information that's been crowdsourced from the community. Now, we see that kind of stuff going on in other platforms and community forums, don't we, Daniel?
We do, yes. Yeah. And I think this is, for me, this announcement is, we've known about this. This was coming, the new Yammer with this, you know, new functionality and all of that. So this is great. The point I want to make sure that I want to say is that don't use Yammer just for this, right? This is because I feel like there's other ways of doing this and other technology. Now, if you're already using Yammer, which we have talked about extensively, there are great reasons to be using Yammer. You know, using this functionality is going to be kind of a seamless way of really highlighting those items that are questions and answers so that, you know, people in your organization can find information. So I think it's a great functionality. But for those that are not using Yammer for anything else, they don't see any reason and they go, oh, there's a Q&A. Do I go ahead and use Yammer for it? My recommendation is no. But for those that are already using it or already contemplating using it, this is a great feature for doing that.
Yep. So question and answers are available now. This feature allows a team, community owner to mark a regular post as a question post. And so I would find this quite useful as I'm going through and seeing people asking questions, and I want to change it to a question post type so that people can answer it and mark it as best answer, and we can help the community find that information faster. The other thing that we'll be able to do is change the default answer style for certain Yammer communities. If the purpose of the community is for Q&A, then make that the default post type so that it helps people to use the right post type. Finally, for those of us who like to be community minded and I'm just, you know, on the bus for a bit, I'll just jump in and see if there's any questions that I can answer. From the Yammer mobile app, you'll be able to filter and show the question post type and any unanswered questions. So you can just get to it and answer them while you're on the go. So that's all rolling out mid-July 2020, which is kind of now-ish.
Now.
yeah, enjoy. Next on the list, we have...
It's another Teams message. This is Teams message translation will be enabled by default. This is MC218683. We're talking about the...
Action report.
This is translation functionality in Teams. So in a chat, which is one-on-one chat or one-to-group chat or channel messages, there will be a translate link. If Teams detects that it's language that is not your default. This is already rolled out to iOS client, and so this has come into desktop and web apps, but what this message is telling us that it will be enabled by default. So unless you have already edited your organization's messaging policy in your tenant, if you've made any change there. If you haven't, then this will be turned on by default and enabled. So what this is saying, action by August 3rd, is that if you do not go in and change this setting in PowerShell, by the 3rd of August, it will be enabled by default and will be there for all your users. So it is not really a new functionality, but it's we're turning this on by default. So if you don't want it, if you don't want your users to have it by default, then you need to turn it off by the 3rd of August using PowerShell. And then the last thing about this is it's only for standard tenants, not for GCC, GCC High, Japan, or Germany. Australia. So anyway,
nice one.
It's just... For now, it's just for standard release, standard tenants. Now, I say it's not for Australia and Japan. They have not in the roadmap. It was specifically called standard, but when it will come to those other tenants, we do not know.
Sorry, Australia do have standard tenants. They're pretty standard people. The name in there.
You threw the name in there. Specifically what this is talking about is, or what I'm talking about, again, is just those tenants that have specific security requirements, like the DoD and the government clouds.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah. Good. My last one for the week has been Azure CDN caching for SharePoint and OneDrive video. MC218786. Yes, I have a theme this week about video production and video. Azure CDNs, they're great. They take a bit of a load off your services, off your network. And for organizations that are international or they've got different locations, your tenant is homed in one location, but you might have people in other places. And if a video starts to get really popular, then this update coming is going to make use of the Azure Content Distribution Network. Distribution. I always get the D wrong. Oh, delivery. I should have just read it in the message.
It is delivery.
Similar thing. Distribution, delivery. Yeah, it's going to make use of that to deliver the video stream from the closest point to the person viewing the video. So that should give you a much better experience of playing those live events and the videos that are recordings afterwards, meeting recordings that might have been overnight and all that. Like I think of when I used to work for a US-based company, there still are meetings that I get invited to from the US that are at sort of 2 and 3 in the morning. Oh, hell no, I'm not getting up at that time. But I will watch it via the Azure CDN and stream it nicely using this.
Yeah, and this is, just remember, this is the videos that are housed in SharePoint and OneDrive. They are making it easier, or making it a better experience for users to consume video in SharePoint and OneDrive.
Oh yeah, good point. Not stream. Where?
No, it's not. But what this is, if you think about those that have been in SharePoint for a very long time, you upload a video into SharePoint, and it's not the greatest experience because it's having to access that content just like it accesses documents and others, and so it's not a great experience. This one is just making sure that if you would upload videos to SharePoint and OneDrive, if you would do that, then your experience will be greatly improved.
Got it. Actually, I'm glad that you pointed that out. I had missed that it wasn't involving stream, even though it's in the title. I guess because I'm so used to putting videos in stream, and that's where they get recorded when it's a meeting.
This has nothing to do with stream. This is you putting videos in OneDrive and SharePoint.
Right. What's your... That was the last one. That's it.
Yeah.
That is it.
It is. We are fantastically done.
Yeah.
Because I think that was a great show. And there's actually some content in the Message Center that we were just not able to cover this week that you need to pay attention to. So make sure your admins or those that have that role that can see the Message Center are paying attention. I'll be putting out a blog post later on covering some of those that we didn't talk about.
All right. Well, thanks again for joining us. Thank you to all in the chat room. We'll catch you again next week. Bye for now.